It's been a long time, and I'm so happy, and I cannot believe it's taken this long to get the great Dane. I can do that because everybody else does. To get the great Dane Smith in the basement. It's Bull in the Basement with 92 for the Bandits, having a record season. How you doing, man? Great to see you.
I'm doing great, and thanks for having me. The bark can never get old.
No doubt. Before I get to this season, which has been remarkable for you and the team, obviously, I want to get into a little bit of you, and that's kind of what we do on this podcast, is we delve into some background of our guests and try to at least give one little tidbit about them that people maybe don't know about them. And maybe we'll get there or not with you, but anyway. Kitchener, Ontario, multi-sport star in school, coming up. Football, right? You were a quarterback.
Yep.
Now, were you dual purpose? I mean, you were pass run. You know, were you the Lamar Jackson of Kitchener?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I started my career as a wide receiver in grade 11, and our quarterback wasn't very good, so I wasn't getting the ball, and I was kind of getting frustrated. So you know what? I was like, you know what? I want to try something else. And I ended up playing slot receiver for half the year. And I liked that. It was nice. You can run the ball. You can obviously get the ball thrown to you. But then I was like, you know what? I need the ball more. And so I ended up playing quarterback, and it was beneficial because like lacrosse is similar. I could throw better on the run than I could in the pocket. So it kind of related to lacrosse a little bit in that aspect. And I was able to throw pretty well and run the ball as well. So it was fun.
So did you have a growth spurt after school? Because what are you? You're 6'3"-ish, right? More?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Nope. That's probably being on.
All right. So 6'3"-ish, right? And I just don't see a 6'3" slot receiver. That seems odd to me.
Yeah, no, I grade 9, I was 5'5". I ended up growing that summer. But yeah, I was pretty tall for that position for sure. I was running straight up, and I don't know how I didn't get smoked, but I kind of had quick feet, so I guess I went around people. But again, Kitchener wasn't the biggest football city, I guess you could say, so I stood out a little bit more than I probably should have.
So did you go to Hamilton games growing up?
Yeah, I went to a few Tiger Cats games. I know when I was a kid, I actually had I think season tickets. I don't really remember too much about it. I remember going for my birthday one year, and I was pretty young, and I was like, oh, okay, I don't want to be here anymore, and like leaving the game and stuff like that. But now that I'm more aware of football and stuff like that, I wish I could go to more games. Obviously, I'm more of an NFL guy than I am a CFL with the 3-down rules. But the cool thing about the 3-down rules is the ball was thrown a lot more, and I kind of enjoyed that.
And bigger field, right?
Right. The end zone was like 20 yards instead of 10. So it made it interesting.
And you got a 15-yard head start, too, on the DB.
Right.
that's phenomenal, man. So, okay, who was your NFL team? I mean, were you a Bills guy or were you somebody else? It's okay if you weren't a Bills guy.
Yeah, so I wasn't a Bills guy. Okay. I got to admit, I was a Green Bay Packers fan. I still am to this day. That being said, now that I've played for this great city of Buffalo for 10 years, Bills are my team as well. So if I could have two teams, it'd be the Bills and the Packers.
That's what a lot of people say. You know, the Bills are my AFC team, and then I got an NFC team too, and whatever.
Yeah, just in case, you know, yeah, right. Backup.
Yeah, it works. And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, say what you want about him. He's so fun to watch and root for, so I can't blame you. Okay, so football. And did you have a player that was your guy, like an NFL idol in football at all?
Not necessarily. I grew up watching, obviously. Favre was young when I was younger, but I was so young that I didn't really get to experience it as much as I do Aaron Rodgers now. There's not specific players there's so many great players in the NFL nowadays that it's like, it's hard to like just kind of pick one. I probably have one for mostly offensive positions. I like a certain running back or a certain wide receiver, but Aaron Rodgers is probably my guy.
All right. Well, go ahead.
Davante Adams, I would say, but him leaving Green Bay kind of hurts us, but he was also awesome to watch. He just never really trash talked, just kind of went about his game and he backed it up.
So would you be, that's okay. Let's say football became your thing. Would you want to, if you're in the NFL right now, are you a quarterback or are you a receiver?
Definitely wide receiver. I mean, my arm was good, but it wasn't as good as anyone in the NFL. That being said, I wish I could get a tryout just to kind of see. Now I'm a little bit older, but a few years ago, I wish I got it just to see how it was. Obviously, I know those guys are elite athletes, but it would be cool to kind of see where I kind of plant myself.
What's your, have you ever been timed in the 40?
I have, but this was stopwatch back in the day. And it was it was 4.44, but again, it was stopwatch. So I don't really know. I am faster now, so I'm interested to see, but I usually catch my speed around the 30, the 40. I'm more of I'm not a long distance by any means, but yeah. I open up.
I can see there being some sort of a 40-yard dash challenge between maybe you and Stephon Diggs or something.
it'd be cool to see it, definitely.
Right? Let's do this. Let's get that going, man. So what other sports did you play in high school? Obviously, lacrosse.
Yeah, so lacrosse was my main sport growing up, but my other main sport would be hockey, even before football. As I got older, football kind of became more one of my main sports, but it was hockey in the winter, lacrosse in the summer. Those were my two ones, main ones. I played basketball a little bit in grade 9 and 10. And then I played volleyball as well. I did track and field.
Man.
I tried to do everything and see what I was really good at and what I wasn't.
So in track and field, because I did it for 1 year, my football coaches were like, you know what? You should do track. You'll get faster. I'm like, okay. And so I was a freshman in high school. I did track. And when you're a freshman, unless you're really elite, you don't go to the meets. And so the varsity leaves you behind. And the coach says, okay, here's what we want you to do today. Right. So there's 10 of you that are left behind and you're expected to do the workouts, and doing track, it's the most boring thing in terms of practicing ever. And so half the time we weren't even doing anything. It was dumb.
I definitely agree with that. It was one of those things that it was tough to be a part of, but I'm very glad I did it. I think it did help with my running mechanics and how fast I am today. So that being said, the practices were really boring and repetitive.
Were your parents athletes, and do you have siblings, and are they athletes?
So my mom, she played sports, but it wasn't to the highest level. My dad played lacrosse and hockey, so I definitely got it from him. Then obviously I have a older sister. She was very good at lacrosse, but at that time there wasn't many people going into school as far as girls lacrosse went. She definitely could have went to anywhere she wanted. She was that good. But then she kind of hung it up because she was playing with the boys for a bit, and then she hung it up and she played soccer, and she was really good at soccer as well. So she went to school for soccer. And then my brother, he was a lacrosse hockey player, very, very good. Honestly, people that knew us growing up, he was a better lacrosse player, better hockey player than me all growing up. He unfortunately tore his ACL in midget. So he would have been 14, I believe, 14 years old. And that kind of put a spiral to his career a little bit. But he's still playing in the farm league for lacrosse right now. But again, he was an unbelievable athlete growing up.
Yeah. So obviously sports have been a big part of your family. So let's fast forward a little bit. Did you get, we know that you were obviously recruited high or, drafted high by the Bandits, fifth overall in, was it 90 or, 2012 was it?
Yep. 2012.
Okay. 2012. Were you recruited by any US colleges for outdoor at all?
Yeah, I was. So basically this is kind of my background story. I basically had, went to a camp, and I had the same opportunity for football and lacrosse, and it was called the football one was called the Gridiron, and the lacrosse one was Canada's Top 100. And basically you go to this camp, and all the D1 schools come to watch you play. And I had the opportunity to go to the lacrosse one or the football one. Of course they fell in the same weekend, and I just kind of broke my ankle probably a year before that. So football was kind of I don't know if I can do it again. So I chose a lacrosse one, ended up getting 20 plus D1 scholarships through that. And so that was a huge step for me. I was wow, this is overwhelming. This is crazy. Some huge name schools. And I was kind of going back and forth with it. And then I got reached out by a Canadian, it was called Canis Golf, Quest for Gold. And basically what happens is they want to keep Canadian athletes in Canada. They gave me a full ride scholarship in Canada, and then I could enter the pro draft early. So that's the route I took. I wasn't really big on field back in the day. So it was kind of one of those things where I was like, okay, like this makes the most sense for me. So I was able to go to college and still play a professional. If I were to go back, I can't complain where I'm at today by any means, but I would wish I went to like a school for at least a year or two to kind of experience it.
So like Hopkins, Carolina, like
that. Syracuse, yeah, yeah, Georgetown, Loyola,
powerhouses.
Albany,
yeah,
some, yeah, I'm trying to think. To this day, I have them probably still in my email saved. Yeah. There's quite a bit of them. It was pretty cool.
That is cool, but and that just says how good of a player you were and the level that you were at even then. So okay. Now let's fast forward a little bit to Bandits. 2016, incredible, 72 goals. I mean, that's just nuts, dude. That averages out to like, what is that? Like, how many a game?
I think it's four or something, I think.
That's
great. I could be wrong.
Four plus, yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't even know how I did that. I really don't. Like, I don't know. I remember, like, kind of scoring quite a bit at the beginning of the season and then being like, oh, you're on pace to break the record. I'm like, what is the record? And they're like 71. I was like, what? No, like that's not real. Like nobody's able to do that. Like that's silly. And I was able to break it by one goal, 72. And again, like to this day, I'm like, I don't know how anyone's even gonna like break that. Like, and somebody who definitely will, like records are meant to be broken. But like looking back, I'm like, I don't even know like how that was even possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's nuts. And then in the same record, you broke the season scoring record with 137, and you're 3 points away from that record this year, and you'll have a chance to do that on Saturday against Toronto. This year, you've shattered the assist record, right?
Yeah.
Like it was 84, and you have 94, something like that now?
Yep.
Man, I mean, holy cow. Like, man. How, I mean, you're 30 now, right?
29. I'm turning 30 September. So don't try not to age me.
Too yeah, much. Right. Yeah. No, your 20s are important. You do not. Hold on. I'm choking because I'm way beyond that. but are you in your prime right now?
Yeah. I mean, they say that your prime is between, I think, 27 and 32. I could be wrong, but around that age. And I thought, like, obviously 2016, I was like, oh, I must be in my prime. I must be doing well. Now I'm in way better shape than I was. I've lost 20 pounds from every year that I've kind of played. Like my whole life, I've kind of played at the same weight. And this year I lost 20 pounds and I feel way better. I'm a lot smarter than I was just as far as the game. Like I let the game kind of come to me. I the game slowed down a lot, so like I'm just definitely smarter in that aspect, so I can kind of see how I'm doing as good to an aspect. But besides that, it's just kind of one of those things that I guess I consider myself in my prime. Yeah,
this sport is one that can really take its toll on you. I mean, I don't know, for people that are watching this, if you've never run up and down the length of a hockey rink. I mean, you can play hockey on skates and there's times when you can glide and it's, but running the length of a hockey rink back and forth throughout the span of a game, like you do. In addition to that, the punishment that you guys give out and take in terms of stick play and checks, the toll it can take on you guys is incredible. And for you to be at where you're at now, factoring all of that in is really remarkable. So clearly it sounds like, you know, exercise regimen, diet, all of that has had a lot to do with why you're at or where you're at, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my body definitely feels like 39, not 29. That being said, I do take care of my body way more better than I did last year or the year before. Like I understand it And if I want to prolong my career, obviously I'm doing the right things. I'm stretching more. I'm getting the physio that I need and all that stuff. So it's one of those things that I go week by week by, but I'm able to do it.
Are you an ice bath guy and like a cryo guy and like all of it?
Yeah, I'm a big cryo guy. Ice baths are a little different. I try to avoid those, but cryo is one of the things that I do every day. So it definitely helps me.
That's super cool, man. Do you own an egg? Do you own one of the pod rather, whatever they call it? Do you own one of them or?
No, I don't own any of those. I do have an ice barrel at home that I try to avoid at all costs. I don't want to go in it, but if I have to, I will.
Yeah.
My girlfriend has a hot tub, so I'll go over there and hot tub quite a bit as well.
Yeah, hot tubbing does not suck. It doesn't.
No.
Therapeutic or not, just does not suck.
Right.
This team this year has been really dominant. I mean, you had a couple hiccups near the end of the year, but 14-3. I've watched you guys for over 20 years, and this is one of the best teams I think I've ever seen. So I would ask you, do you think largely in part? So I'm going down your roster. I'm looking at, you got you got Priolo, you got Byrne, you got McKay, you got Frazier, Cloutier, Brownell, Matty Vince has been there now for whatever, 3, 4, 5 years. Do you count that as to why you've been so successful in terms of that core now being together as long as it has been?
I really do. You know what? It's one of those things that you kind of look back at. And in 2019, we have a very similar team. We were just younger and unexperienced, where now we're a little bit older. Obviously that COVID took like a little bit of time and we got a little bit older. There's 6 or 7 of us that played in the outdoor game and we won this year, and that helps. Obviously winning at any level, obviously it's professional, but like understanding what it takes to kind of win. I think getting 6 or 7 of us able to win that kind of, we know what we're getting ourselves into. I think that helped, but just, yeah, getting that extra year or two to kind of understand it a little bit more, knowing the feeling, how it felt in 2019. And then obviously Steve Dietrich bringing in the right pieces. We have a few new guys with Connor Fields and DeHoga on the offense. Kyle Buchanan, who's a veteran, who's unbelievable. That's things that nobody really sees. And just we're deeper than we ever have been. And I think we really do have the team to kind of do it this year.
Yeah. What about, it's very rare that the coach gets talked about, right? I mean, we see you guys on the Instagram and we see all the hijinks that you guys pull with each other and the pranks and fun you have and the camaraderie that the players have, but it's not that often that we hear about John Tavares. Talk about how important he's been to the growth and maturation and now the 2022 success of this team.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a player coach. He understands it. A lot of the coaches that were in the league or that are still in the league, they didn't really play in the era where the games changed so much, where he kind of did, which is kind of crazy to think about, but he understands it. Instead of yelling at us, he'll take us aside and explain. And he's a guy that he doesn't really yell or talk often, but when he does, you're listening because he's the greatest to ever play. So it's one of those things that it's the coolest experience. And I was fortunate enough to play with him, so I even respect him even that much more. We have a great relationship, so we can talk about anything and everything. He comes to me at all times about ideas, and I respect that more than anything. And that's kind of one of those things where I take to kids, where I'm teaching kids. I'm like, okay, like I want to hear what you guys see out there and stuff like that. And those relationships just go a long way. And he's a smart mind, and some of the things he says are kind of crazy, but we're like, okay, you know what? This should be fun and see what happens. But he has fun with us, but he's also serious, and it's a good mix.
Does it blow your mind a little bit that you're probably at some point going to be talked about in the same vein that people talk about him?
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, it is weird because he did say something in the newspaper the other day that he sees a lot of similarities to my game than his. And that's like crazy to even think about. And it means the world to me. It is different because obviously, yeah, younger kids never saw John Tavares play and only their parents have. And obviously now that I'm playing in the league now, they're seeing me, and then they're going to probably talk about that more than anything. And so it's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie, but again, it's at the end of the day, it's one of those things that all these achievements, winning all these awards and stuff like that is awesome. But at the end of the day, it's the championships, and JT brought four to Buffalo. And I want to be able to bring four to five in Buffalo. And I know I have a lot more to give, and that's where you're kind of recognized. You're not recognized by the awards, you're recognized by the championship. So I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Well, I will tell you and anybody watching that having worked as long as I did with the Bandits, one of the beauties of you guys is that you are arguably the most humble people there are when it comes to professional sports, even though for you guys, at least some of you guys, it's like a co-profession, right? For a lot of guys forever have had to have regular day jobs, right? I mean, there's a handful of you guys that are fortunate enough to, this is your day job, right? But, right. But there's other guys that, you know, I mean, John Tavares famously was a teacher forever. Even when he was at the height of his success as a pro lacrosse player, he had a second job. So for you guys, even though some of you, it's sort of like, I call it like a pro hobby, you get paid to do what you love. The humility that you guys have shown that I've seen over the years is really remarkable, and you should be very proud of that.
Yeah, no, it's crazy to think about. Like, obviously, I'm fortunate enough to just be a lacrosse player, and my everyday is a lot different than a lot of other guys. So those guys that go to work every day and then come play on the weekends, I give them credit. They're worn down, they have families and stuff like that. And that's a lot of work. And right now, I'm fortunate. I don't have a family right now. I don't have another job. It's just lacrosse, and I'm just focusing on that. So I'm able to kind of perform at the highest level I possibly can. But it's crazy to kind of see around the league where those guys that do have everything, you give them a lot of credit.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk a little bit about the league, and then I'm going to circle back to you again. So we've seen expansion. We've seen it kind of all over the place in different cities. It works. It doesn't. It's new. It's popular. It's cool. Then it kind of goes away. And what do you think needs to happen? We've had this conversation. God, like I said, I go back 20 years working with or for the Bandits. And I want to say every 3 to 5 years, we had the discussion, like, what do we have to do to get this more mainstream? And, you know, I've been doing a handful of Canisius lacrosse games here locally in college. And you're seeing kids that get recruited from California, Florida, Texas, Arizona, Georgia, places that you would never think are churning out these really great lacrosse players. And it's across the board. Like, you were talking about some of the powerhouse D1 schools out there. Same thing. They're recruiting all over the country in Canada. So I guess my question is to you, like, I feel like the indoor league needs like somebody to throw $100 million at it. I don't know who that person would be, and get you guys in front of like an NFL audience and an NBA audience, because your sport, I think, would be attractive to those people, right? They don't necessarily have to know it. They can learn it, like so many people have over the years, certainly here in the States, where there's scoring, there's collisions, there's speed. I mean, that's everything that's involved in most of the four majors. So get your sport in front of them. And I think that's all that you really need is some exposure, right?
Yeah, I mean, this year the NFL has done a great job, but we finally got an ESPN deal, which is incredible for the sport. Now you see the professional outdoor, us and college, all on ESPN. And like, that's the main focus, all eyes on them, right? And then you have guys like Joe Tsai, who owns the Brooklyn Nets, who owns San Diego right now. He just purchased another team in Vegas, they just announced their team actually this year. I mean, today. And having the ownerships with Joe Tsai, Steve Nash, Wayne Gretzky, and Dustin Johnson, all huge professional sports names, and having those eyes and people seeing that, okay, they're buying into the NFL, they must see something that we don't. And now I think it's just going to take off, to be honest. And I believe it's one more team. As soon as we have one more team in our league, it's considered a full-time gig. So which is, we can even take that next step.
Yeah.
So I think we're right there. We're tiptoeing that line, and we're going in the right direction. I just hope we don't take a back step, because obviously in previous years, you kind of see that teams drop out and stuff like that. But I think we're going the right direction.
For sure. And it's being put into places where I think it can be successful. Right. And you just, the four names you just mentioned, there's my $100 million I just kind of threw out as a number, but okay, we found it. Thank God.
Yeah.
So let's get to you. What's your pregame like? What do you do?
Pregame. So I'm pretty, I try not to be too superstitious, but I definitely am. I like to say I'm not, but people are like, yeah, you do the same thing all the time. Basically I just wake up, go to the rink. I don't eat breakfast. Never really have. I don't know why, but I don't.
The most important meal of the day.
I know, it's weird. I get to the rink, do video, do shoot around. I don't stick around to shoot after. It's one of those things where it's like, as an offensive guy, like you shoot, if you shoot too much, you're kind of like, you're either tired, one, or you just overthink things, saying, oh, okay, my stick's not dialed as much as it should be. So I don't do that. Then I go home. I used to try to nap from 2 to 4, and it was like a set time type thing. Now I don't really have a set time. I try to nap shorter time because I heard that it takes a couple hours for you to actually functionally wake up. So I try only to nap for an hour. I try to get up and do things as well. But once I get to the rink, headphones are in. Don't touch my phone. Don't go around it. Turn it off. And then I'm focused. I do the same routine type thing. I do eat chicken Alfredo, which is probably the worst thing you could possibly eat before a game, how heavy it is and stuff like that. But I only eat one meal a day. So that's how I kind of tell myself it's okay. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, I do sleep with my stick the night before a game.
Shut up.
Yeah, I do. It's one of those things where you treat your stick with respect, it'll treat you well. So it's one of the things I've always done. And yeah.
I mean, you mentioned your girlfriend. So I don't know where, like how that comes into play, but with your stick and you, whatever, but that's probably way too personal and I get it. So what's on your playlist? What are you listening to when you've got the earbuds in?
So I usually go to, I just got Spotify for the first time in like this year, which is kind of crazy. I always was an Apple guy because I had an Apple phone and I thought that made the most sense. So right. I was just like, oh, okay, let's do Apple Music. Now with Spotify, there's so many different playlists. So I just kind of let it run. Big Booty Mix is a good one. That one's just like everything and it's just kind of crazy. I'm pretty open to different ideas. I don't listen to country before games, but I do listen to country on the golf course. I'm a big golfer. So I'm not nothing against country, but it's just not one of those things that's going to pick me up. But I'm pretty open to different ideas.
So hockey and lacrosse players typically are pretty good golfers. What's your number?
I'm a 10 handicap. So I'm okay. I'm not terrible. I'm pretty good. I play quite a bit. I've had memberships for the past 3-4 years. I feel like I should be shooting lower than 80s. Quite a bit, but I don't. I've only broke 80 twice, and so but I also have fun with it. I don't get frustrated. You don't see me smack, like I know what I am. Like I don't, I have fun with it, and I think that's kind of helped me be a good athlete and be like, I don't know, it just helped me be calm even out on the floor. Like I golf is one of those games, it's frustrating, it's hard, and if I can kind of stay within the sport and not even get mad with it, I can do that with other sports. I think that's helped me.
Okay. So knowing what you do in lacrosse, I'm assuming you have very soft hands and you're great around the green.
Good putter. Terrible. I can't find a figure out the chipping around the green. I don't
that's
know.
Interesting.
I feel like I switch up the way I do it like almost every time. Cause yeah. There's like 3-4 different ways you can go about doing it. And I try different ones each time and I haven't felt comfortable with it too much. So like around the green is my tough spot, but I think my iron game is probably the best part.
Are you are you somebody that enjoys some swing juice on the golf course?
I try to avoid that, but depending on how the game's going, it depends obviously on a weekend as well. It depends on mood, depends on what the guys are thinking, but I try to do well to the best of my ability, and then obviously if that isn't going well, then yeah.
And I'll ask the same question similarly, but depending on who you're with, are there friendly bets? I mean, do you do some skins and stuff?
Yeah, all the time. Me and me and Chris Cloutier have pretty good competition. We're pretty similar. He might have had me beat last summer, but we usually bet quite a bit, actually.
You had a hole in one?
Never hole one. I've never even seen one.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I can tell you, I like to tell people too, even though technically it's one, but I have one actual one. The second one, I literally flew a ball on a 180 yard par three. It literally went into the hole and bounced out on the fly.
Like, no way.
It's impossible to do. Don't ask me how I did it, because I'm a terrible golfer. I'm like an 18 handicap or something. I'm terrible.
And you got a hole one.
And I got a real one. Yeah, I did get it.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I refuse to believe it too. My buddy's like, oh my God, I went in. I'm like, nah, it went beyond it, went past it. And I went all the way around the entire green because I just didn't believe him. I didn't want to believe it. And then I walk up and they're like, hell, hey.
So anyway. I don't understand. So the one thing I don't understand, since we're on the topic, is when you do get a hole in one, why you have to buy everybody drinks? I don't get it. Why you should be the one getting drinks bought and free.
I agree 1,000%. I don't know where that folklore came from or where that, you know, that course etiquette came from. I have no clue, but I was really fortunate because I went into the clubhouse when I got mine. There were like, I don't know, six guys in there, and I offered to buy them. They're like, ah, no, you're good. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, here, you bar's yours.
Yeah, seriously.
So, I mean, you're not going to get this opportunity more than once. Trust me.
Yeah.
All right. A couple more things with you and then we'll let you go. Talk about the Buffalo fans, man. They are unique, certainly when it comes to the cross, whether it's, you know, their face paint or their hair or their outfits. I mean, I always told everybody it's like Halloween, every Bandit game, right? I mean, forget about the orange and black, naturally Halloween colors, but it's just dress up day every time the Bandits are playing at home. So talk a little bit about why you love the Bandit fan base and why I think probably the rest of the league looks to the Bandit fan base in terms of, you know, the leaders of the pack. I think like the NFL likes, you know, the same with the Bills fans, right? You know,
right. So. Yeah, no, it's incredible. They're our backbone, and it's like the advantage we kind of have with those guys. It's incredible. They have their chance. They dress up like Halloween. It's wild there, and they're very loud, and it's exciting to play there. It's one of those places that teams actually come in and are excited to play in Buffalo, but they also know it's a disadvantage for them as well. Like, they're like, okay, this is going to be fun. There's so many people because we're not used to that, but also it's going to be a battle because they're going to be yelling at us, screaming at us. So it's a huge advantage for us. And thank God we have a home advantage throughout the playoffs. So we're going to hopefully take advantage of that.
Yeah, for sure. Are you friendly? I know like back in the day, it used to be really popular for the pro sports teams to kind of co-mingle. Like, so are you friendly with any of the Bills guys or the Sabres guys?
So the Sabres guys, not so much. I mean, they've both teams, not so much. Sabres, they've changed a lot of guys since, like, I used to know Foligno very well. Used to know a few different guys. I knew Eichel a little bit, Sam Reinhart, Montour, I knew well. But then again, they've changed so many guys over. So, we haven't ran into them too much this year, obviously with the protocols and stuff like that. Yeah. At the beginning of the year, you didn't really run into them. And then with the Bills, Deion Dawkins, I know.
Yeah.
And then Ferguson, I know. Those would be the two guys that I would know. The other guys I have never met.
Well, yeah. They're two of the more fun-loving Bills, that's for sure. Okay. Favorite restaurant in Buffalo?
Ooh. So I used to be a guy that, like, didn't understand Buffalo and, like, I would say like Cheesecake Factory, and I loved it back in the day. Like, so like that was the thing when I was younger, didn't understand it. Now, I would have to say, it's tough.
I know. You can name a couple if you want, because if you say one, somebody's going to have their feelings hurt. Right. So there's a lot of pressure. You can plead the fifth on this if you'd like, it's up to you.
Yeah. I mean, I like Tapo Italian. They're very good.
Have you eaten in one of the igloos?
No, I haven't. No, no, I have okay. not. No, okay. No. The Gastropub in East Aurora, that's probably my favorite. Their options are very well good, and their nachos are incredible. They're like wonton nachos. They're different. They're crazy. And then been living in, well, I'm downtown now, but I was living in Hamburg for quite a bit. So a few of those, the Juicy Burgers was really good. They had a Mexican place, Coyote Cafe, really good as well. So those would be my probably four main ones, but yeah.
And anybody that makes chicken Alfredo.
Anywhere, yeah. Chicken Alfredo. Which is, what's weird though, is when I'm going, when I order out, if I'm an Italian place, I get chicken parm. But I usually do change the red sauce to white sauce. So it's kind of the same idea. But I usually order chicken parm, maybe because I eat chicken Alfredo every day for a game day, but I'm not really too sure.
And then this just came to my brain and I don't know why, but do you guys typically, cause I remember, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, you guys had a road game and I think there was like something on Instagram, like you guys were in the airport or something. Do you guys, when you're flying to road games, are you flying commercial or on a charter?
No, commercial.
So okay, so,
yeah.
So when you're in the airport, I mean, are people like, oh, hey, it's Ben, it's Ben.
Yeah, yeah, we get that quite a bit, or we just get weird looks, one of the two. But for the most part, we do have people coming up to us saying good luck this season, or we're coming on the flight with you guys, we're traveling with you guys, all that cool stuff. So it's pretty cool to be a part of it. I mean, charter would be ideal. I've never been on a charter flight. So if Pagulas are listening right now, that'd be pretty cool during playoffs. But no, I mean, it's one of those things that it kind of keeps you level-headed for sure to just be on the commercial just like anybody else.
All right, well, listen, you are that close to breaking your own points record. You guys have crushed it this year and 14-3. You got Toronto on Saturday. It's fan appreciation night downtown. And then of course the playoffs. So I believe are May 7th, if I'm not mistaken, in the following week. So you have been one of the absolute nicest, coolest pro athlete I've ever dealt with. I've been in Buffalo 25 years and I've done a lot of sports and you're, man, you are upper echelon, dude. So congratulations on all your success. You deserve it all. And, we have one banner raised this year. We need another one, right?
Yes, we do. Yes, okay. We definitely do.
Dan, great seeing you, man. I really appreciate you doing this. And I appreciate the time. We went longer than we talked about, but you're phenomenal for doing it. And I'll get you the link. And for everybody watching, this is on YouTube. It's also on Spotify if you just want to listen to it. And we would ask you to subscribe and like and share and Bandit Land. Hey, send this all around the planet, okay? Dane Smith, 92 for the Bandits. Thanks, Ben, buddy. Break that record this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. See ya.